Revelation 13, verse 11. Revelation 13, verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence. And he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Let's pray. Lord, what encouragement that the church in that day had from hearing this chapter. For Lord, that was what was being told, reality, that saints would be persecuted as they were being persecuted, that the devil would rise, as we see, but that this message would encourage them, which it should us. We pray, Lord, you would speak. We might be more bold, more confident, more enthusiastic, and more committed to our Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Imitation is said to be the sincerest form of flattery. At Columbia Bible College, a friend of mine, Keith Snipes, senior year, Dr. Belcher had been there for three of the years, three of our 4 years there when we were seniors. And Doc had become known as you can understand, a great preacher and also a great singer. And he had his mannerisms. He came to class, he always had a bunch of pens in his pocket. And when he preached, he squinted his eyes like that. And so one day in a class meeting, Keith imitated Dr. Belcher. It was very humorous, and Doc was on board with it. And that was flattery. When Doc went to India in 1986, I went with him in 1987. All the preachers in India wanted to preach like Dr. Belcher. That's flattery. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. It's why I felt like when I did these things back as a kid, I dressed as Superman on Halloween. Because who wouldn't want to be Superman? That super strength, that ability to fly, that X-ray vision, all of that would have really rocked the playground. I would take Superman. However, not all imitation is flattery. The other side of imitation is mockery. If it's not flattery, it's mockery. Mockery intends to make fun of someone and drive others from them, or also drive that person from some position or commitment they have made. To laugh a person to scorn. Then no one wants to be like them. It's interesting that back in the 70s, I guess it was, You had Archie Bunker. And you had George Jefferson. And those were sitcoms where we made fun of them so that nobody wanted to be Archie Bunker or George Jefferson. Archie didn't like black people. George Jefferson didn't like white people. And Frank Burns didn't like anybody. And all that was to poke fun at things. And today it's entirely abused by the media. They begin to make heroes and significant figures out of people who are bigots like that. It makes the twisted people want to be like them. The devil is a copycat with evil intentions. He both wants to be God and he wants to mock God. And Revelation is the devil's last grasp at victory over God and to be worshipped. And the world is hungry for this. The world wants the devil to rise. They wouldn't say it that way. But the world is eager for this kind of leader to rise and to take over and fix everything. Last time we saw the rise of the first beast out of the sea. That was the symbolic rise from the nations. This is a rise from the world system. This leader, this first beast, rising out of the sea. Sea is kind of a mysterious element. What's under the water? I like oyster stew. Do you like oyster stew? The only problem with oyster stew is the oyster. That is an ugly creature. And I like oyster stew with the little round crackers floating on the top and the milky stuff. But when you dip down in there, and what comes up? But the creature from the Black Lagoon. And can you eat that? Turn the lights out. It doesn't taste that bad, but it looks awful. So what comes out of the ocean here is a beast. And the beast rises out of the nations under Satan's control. He has a deadly wound that was healed. We'll talk more about that in a moment. And he drew many people after him. Verse 3 tells us that the world was just enamored by him. The world was amazed and followed after the beast. And the dragon, verse 2 tells us, gave the beast his power, his throne, and great authority. This is the beast coming into his kingdom. What happens often, people get hired and they're given authority, and they take the authority, and if their intent is bad, they use the authority to do bad with it. That happens often in government, it happens in companies, happens in any kind of public or private enterprise. So the Antichrist here is who he is. The Antichrist comes into his own, and he begins to work the devil's will in the end times. He's a political leader. Someone who has an answer that is in politics. You thought one day we'll get done with politics. No, we will not. We have politics all the way to the coming of Christ. We have politicians all the way to the beast, who will be a political leader who has promise, who promises to fix things, and the world will swoon. He was given a foul mouth to blaspheme God, to overcome the saints. We hear it today. There's a lot of foul mouths. When people say, after a shooting, our thoughts and prayers go to the victims, then people get derided because they say thoughts and prayers won't matter. What will matter is Congress doing something, which is perversion in spirit. That already is happening. Jesus is already slandered all the time. The Word of God is opposed. Well, at that time, he will boldly oppose God. He'll blaspheme God. He'll overcome the saints. He'll speak against all that is pleasing to God. This is the Antichrist. But by the devil's plan, one beast is not enough. One false prophet is not enough. Benny Hinn is not enough. You got to have Kenneth Copeland, Cleflo Dollar. You got to have Robert Tilton. You got to have the whole bunch of them. One is not enough. In a movie, one Clint Eastwood is plenty. One John Wayne, that's all you need. One Arnold, that's it. You got the rise here of the second beast, the two beasts. The second beast, we're told in verse 11, rises out of the earth. Rising out of the earth is also kind of a sinister thing, like it's coming out of the pit. If you're out in the backyard and something rises up out of the ground, what do? Well, that's interesting. Isn't that interesting? Look, there's a lizard coming up out of the ground. It's about the size of my car. Let me get closer and get a selfie with it. It's frightening. It's an earthy thing. And this beast is a different kind of beast. Notice, it says that he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. The reformers have, if you read the reformers, Puritans, a lot of the ancient writers, church fathers, saw that this beast, they said, would be the Pope. It surely would fit, because the Pope has traditionally been also a wing of politics. There's even an embassy and all. This many have identified as the Pope, because he speaks as though he's a holy man, but he speaks like a dragon. The two horns are less than the 10 horns of the first beast. This beast is not the same stature. This is a religious beast. Verse 12 says he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. He's got the same authority. He's in on the same plan. He is the servant of the first beast. He gives voice to the dragon's will. He speaks like a dragon. He's a spokesperson. All the presidents have a spokesperson. Senators have a spokesperson. Somebody who goes forth and tells you what the senator believes, what the president believes about this. Press secretary. Well, here is more than that. He's a religious leader who speaks the will of the first beast. And we're told he makes the world worship the first beast, which is, again, what many politicians seek. World leaders want to be worshipped. Kings want to be worshipped. He wants to be worshipped. So, he makes, verse 12, the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. He is causing, like Caesar. Caesar was to be worshipped in Rome. Caesar was considered to be God by the Romans. You had to worship Caesar. You could worship other gods, but you had to worship Caesar. Christians would not worship Caesar, therefore they were persecuted. This false prophet, this second beast, turns the world to worship the first beast through a miracle of resurrection. Now, some believe, I mean, it's just speculation. It says his fatal wound was healed. He got killed. Somehow, this guy was killed. His wound was fatal. And it was healed. It was either said to be fatal and it turned around, or it was fatal and there's a resurrection. And by that action, the world is turn to this first beast. He further, we're told, verse 13, performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. This copycat thing we'll see a lot in this passage. Who else did that? Elijah. Elijah, a true prophet.
Here the false prophet
does it.
And wows the world.
And so we call this the false prophet. The beast, when we talk about beasts, there are two beasts here, the first and the second. The first beast is the Antichrist. The second beast is the false prophet. We normally call the first beast just the beast. The second beast we call the false prophet. That's just what we say because he's a religious leader. He is testifying of to the worship of the first beast, which is the world system. And the leader, political leader of a world system. And he commands, verse 14, through those signs and, verse 15, or verse 14, he has them make an image of the beast who had the wound of the sword and it's come to life. So here's what he does. He points to the Antichrist as an object of worship. And that's not enough. He has everybody make an image. That takes out the first two commandments. No other gods before me and no graven images. So he makes the commands an image be made of the beast for the purpose of worship. And this is not just a piece of wood. It was given, verse 15, to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. This used to be science fiction. In a lot of homes, I could go right now and knock on the door and go inside and show them the nature of this image that will be in the future. Because if you've got a Google home device in your house, you're on the way, buddy. The thing will talk to you. The thing will listen to you. Alexa, when will dinner get ready? Alexa says, when you get up off the couch and make it. It'll talk to you. There's always complaints, and Google promises. Google promises they will never listen in on the microphone that is open in your house. They promise they'll never do that. Facebook promises that the camera that they want to put in your house, they will never use that in a wrong way. And if they do, they won't sell it to people and show whatever. So, and we can believe all that, right? This is already here. It will be maybe more sophisticated, but it doesn't have to be, because we've also got the other part of this. It says about the image, it has two abilities. It can speak, but it also can kill. Do you know what we use a lot of times in battle these days to kill? A drone. You don't think one of these little things that we've got now could be hooked up with something like a bullet, a bomb, or any other thing? It's not a far-fetched thing. This could be done, and probably is, has already been done, so that the device could see whether or not you worship, and if you do not, you die. That's what it says here will happen. To kill any who would not worship the beast. Now, we want everybody to come to Christ. We want that, and we invite people to do that. But if they don't do that, we don't kill them. Islam wants everybody to come to Allah. But if some people don't, they kill them. That's more in line with what we'll see in the future. So he's able to give breath. He's able to make the image breathe and live. And then beyond that, still more. Verse 16. He causes all the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free men and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. He requires a mark on every person. And there are no exceptions. Rich, poor, slave, free, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who you are, you have got to get the mark on your right hand or on your forehead. If it's on your right hand, it's right there. If it's on your forehead, it's right there. It's visible, obvious. You are stating openly that you are in compliance with the regulation to put a mark on yourself of the beast. And without that mark, you cannot go to Walmart and buy something. You get to Walmart, you don't have the mark, you come up to the register. Did you know now that you actually scan things at Walmart to check out? You think they could scan that mark? You can't buy. You can't get anything. You don't have the mark of the beast. And who will get the mark? Those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So who will not get it? Those who are. And so Christians will be starved out. They will not be able to buy or sell. They will not be able to make a living. This is not an identification mark. This is not a tattoo. Tattoos are not sinful. I don't plan on ever getting one. But if you have a tattoo, it's not a sin. This mark is. This is not a mark to identify you as who you are. This is a mark to identify you as a servant of the beast, which the world will get, because the world at this time is all enamored with the beast. And so you'll have to have one of these two things. Verse 17, he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, I told you I've come up with a name, but I'll give you that later. The number is clearly 666. So without that, you cannot buy, you cannot sell, you cannot carry on your life. This is the worst of the worst false prophets of our day. We don't have anybody like this. This is the unholy trinity. Let me quickly just say, I mentioned mockery, I mentioned imitation. The Bible teaches there's one God in three co-equal and co-eternal persons. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe it. Mormons don't believe it. A lot of others don't believe it. A lot of people who are believe in one God don't believe in a God in three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that. It doesn't teach it because we can grasp it fully. It just teaches it because it is. The Father's role is the highest. It is His will that is always performed. The Son, Jesus, glorifies the Father and performs His will in creation and redemption. He reveals the Father to the world. He also reveals the Father to as the Son of Man that we might be saved. The Holy Spirit magnifies the work of the Son. The Holy Spirit points to Jesus, directs people to Jesus, convicts of sin, and sends people to Jesus. He inspires the Word of God. He applies. He's the power of the will of God. And it's like if you, I know you, not everybody watches Star Trek. Let's just say we're coming up on a Romulan vessel. Captain Picard or Captain Kirk, in the position of the Father, says to Lieutenant Worf, who is at the weapons console, fire photon torpedoes. That's from the Father to the Son. Worf says, okay, pushes a button, and the Holy Spirit is the photon torpedoes. Off they go. That's not meant to be irreligious or disrespectful, but just to say that in the roles, this is what we see in the Scripture of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They're all one in three persons. One essence, three persons. So this unholy Trinity is not the same, but it is a copy. The dragon is the Father, the beast is the Son, the false prophet is the Holy Spirit.
Because the same dynamic is at work. The dragon with the ultimate power and authority, the first beast to do the will of the dragon, and the second beast, which is the power to enforce the will of the first beast. And the beast mimics the resurrection of Christ even because his fatal wound was healed. It's either a miracle or a trick. But the world sees a resurrection. I have no problem with that. There are miracles being taking place here that are false and misleading. And the false prophet himself copies Jesus in doing signs and wonders. This is the aim. The aim of the unholy Trinity is deception and condemnation of the world. When Moses was before Pharaoh and the rod turned into a snake, Pharaoh's magicians did the same thing and misled Pharaoh by that way. That's what the purpose of the false prophet is to take attention off of the Lord. The Holy Trinity is enlightenment and salvation. The unholy Trinity is deception and condemnation. So, verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. What does that mean? When I was in school, elementary school, I think, it was very interesting to me, we had a thing given to us whereby if we fill this out and work it through, it will predict the name of our spouses in the future. Boy, I said, wow. That'll be great. So we go through. What food do I like? What's my favorite TV show? On, let's ask questions like that. And so all that calculation, a couple of pages of it. Finally, to the end, it spits out a code. And you take the code and you identify that with letters on a chart. And it brought the name of my wife right in front of me, Mrs. Elwine. That was it. So what does it mean? What does a 666 mean? Well, according to the text, the wise and understanding should know. Do you know? Well, it says, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. So, what is it? It's possible, I think it's clearly obvious, that there may be a more clear understanding in the future when it finally comes. You know, a lot of prophecy is best interpreted after the fact, not before. We anticipate it generally, but then we see it specifically realized. It's impossible to attach an absolute name. I'll give you a suggestion. But you can't attach this number to any specific individual. I will say this, if you want to attach it to somebody, you'll have no trouble. If I threw 666 over Hollywood, California, let it drift down over the stars' homes, they would have Trump in that by, you know, the afternoon. You'll put it to whatever you want to put it to. But we want to understand it at least in a general way first. The Bible tells us here it is the number of a man. It is not a computer. Oh, people are having fits. You know, there's a computer, they said, in England. That is 665. That was back in the 70s. 665. As soon as that next one comes out, it's going to be 666. That's it. It's Terminator. It's not a computer. It's a man. And there's no magical significance or ominous curse to the number. The beast number is 666. 666 is not the beast. The given of this number is not to make us fear, but to make us not fear, because it's the number of a man. It conveys that the beast is a man. Now, the beast is worshipped as God. 2 Thessalonians 2 says the Antichrist will take his place in the temple as God claiming to be God. That's the devil's desire. So what do we know about the number? Well, 666, I think the best explanation I would give of it is that it's not 777. Seven is in Scripture the number of completion, perfection. It's a number that we see in Revelation about the churches. We see that as the number of completion. 666 would be not complete, not complete, not complete. And in this case, if 777 is God, 666, as we told here, is not God. It's the number of a man. It falls short. Now, the devil wants a seven. The devil gets a six. If you remember the Wizard of Oz, Dorothy was off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. And off they go. The Tin Man, the Scarecrow, and the Cowardly Lion. And off they go, and they get to Oz. I'm sorry if you've not seen this. I'm going to spoil it for you. They get to Oz, and it's this ferocious, mean-looking head back there growling and snarling and all that stuff. And the dog goes back and finds a meek old man back behind the curtain. And that's the wizard. And he's not what he looked like up there. You know what 666 is? 666 tells us that although the devil wants to be that guy up there on the screen, he's that little man behind the curtain. He's not God. He's just a man. The Wizard of Oz was just a man. On the devil's tombstone, he's just a created being. He did not attain to what he hoped to. Polls are taken all the time. Every day there's a poll. Every minute there seems to be a poll. And the poll comes back, and you know, they're really ridiculous because they change all the time. But you know, I don't mind hearing a poll when it tells me something that I like to hear. If a poll comes out, and somebody I really hope never gets to be president, if they're going down in the polls, I go, yeah, that's okay. They go up and they go, that's silly. The 666, if you will, is the devil's poll numbers. And he's losing. In Daniel 5, Belshazzar, you know, the writing on the wall and all that, he got all puffed up and started bringing the things from that were in the temple of God and partying with them. And got a judgment from God that you've been weighing the balances and found wanting. That's the devil. That's his 666. That's what is being portrayed here, is that he's not going to reach what he hopes to reach and what he envisions himself to be. Now the name. The name I've come up with that I think best, although there are others, I think the best name for the beast in the future is Silly Putty. I think we'll call him Silly Putty. I was about to say Mr. Potato Head, but you know, a potato head, you can actually eat the potato if it's like the old ones. Silly Putty, what's that? It's a name when it's a name, and the Bible here says you got to have the name on it. It's a name that will mean he's going down. He's a man. He's just a man. He's just a human being. He's not the vicious beast. He's the beast coming out of the sea, but in the end, he's 666 Silly Putty. And nothing more. Let's pray. Lord, in the end, it's just you. You're the perfect. You're the complete. And the devil is another of the sad cases, the prime sad case of those who think they will rise above you and be like the Most High. And we, as your children, look at that and we say, this is the number of a man. And he's not going to prevail. We thank you, Lord, that you will and do. In Jesus' name, amen.